Hello, welcome to worship from the West Highland Peninsulas. Welcome to you wherever you are, whoever you are, and whenever you're joining us. And especially welcome to our neighbouring parishes in Lough Arbour. There are some harsh words in today's Gospel reading. If you hear them properly, and if the predictions in them are accurate, half of you will soon be reaching for the off switch or for the next browser tab. And those of you reading the printed sheet will be heading for the waste paper basket. Now, I suppose I shouldn't be stopping you doing that, because you'll only be making Jesus' words come true. But I do hope that you'll hear me out, because I believe there's encouragement in these words too. So if you do bear with me, you'll be able to work out what you can accept and what you can't. Our call to worship today, words from Psalm 116. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So let's sing that great pilgrim hymn, Who Would Valiant Be, by John Bunyan.
Disturb us, O Lord, as we gather with your words of challenge and of truth. Disturb us, O Lord. Move us beyond our complacency, our tendency to settle for less, our easy faith that costs us little. Disturb us, O Lord, and awaken us to the cost of changing the world, of changing the church, of changing ourselves. As we gather today, may we feel ourselves squirming in your presence, knowing that you invite us into loving action that makes us uncomfortable. Disturb us, O God, and help us to rise to the challenge, for your sake. Amen.
Our first reading today is from Psalm 80, reading from verse 1. Listen to us, O Shepherd of Israel. Hear us, leader of your flock, seated on your throne above the winged creatures. Reveal yourself to the tribes of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Show us your strength. Come and save us. And then continuing from verse 8. You brought a grapevine out of Egypt. You drove out of the nations and planted it in their land. You cleared a place for it to grow. Its roots went deep, and it spread out over the whole land. It covered the hills with its shade. Its branches overshadowed the giant cedars. It extended its branches to the Mediterranean Sea and as far as the river Euphrates. Why did you break down the fences round it? Now anyone passing can steal its grapes. Wild pigs trample it down, and wild animals feed on it. Turn to us, Almighty God. Look down from heaven at us. Come and save your people. Come and save this grapevine that you planted, this young vine you made grow so strong. Our enemies have set it on fire and cut it down. Look at them in anger and destroy them. Preserve and protect the people you have chosen, the nation you made so strong. We will never turn away from you again. Keep us alive and we will praise you. Bring us back, Lord God Almighty. Show us your mercy and we will be saved. Amen. Our gospel reading today is from Luke chapter 12, and I'm reading from verse 49. I came to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism to receive, and how distressed I am until it is over. Do you suppose that I came to bring peace to the world? No, not peace, but division. And from now on, a family of five will be divided 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. Fathers will be against their sons and sons against their fathers. Mothers will be against their daughters and daughters against their mothers. Mothers-in-law will be against their daughters-in-law and daughters-in-law against their mothers-in-law. Jesus said also to the people, when you see a cloud coming up in the west, at once you say that it is going to rain, and it does. And when you feel the south wind blowing, you say that it is going to get hot, and it does. Hypocrites, you can look at the earth and the sky and predict the weather. Why then don't you know the meaning of this present time? Amen.
I have come to bring fire on earth. Do you think that I have come to bring peace? No, division. What sort of talk is that from the one Isaiah heralded as the Prince of Peace? Is it supposed to attract followers or drive them away? No wonder Jesus says those in a family will be divided 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. Well, that bit isn't so much of a surprise. Looking around, you might think it's nothing new. Watch a couple of soaps, or even look at some of the families that you know. And you'll soon wonder if a household where there is not a bone of contention is more the exception than the norm. Is that what Jesus wants? Or is it the inevitable consequence when people choose to follow him? There's a theme running through these chapters of Luke's Gospel with several strands in it, where Jesus is preparing people for what is to come, saying that God's kingdom is near and warning about the cost of discipleship. Jesus has to face the cross, and anyone who would follow him must carry their own cross too. This is just too much for a lot of people. Some will do their best to accept it, and some will just turn away. Jesus knew that, and in saying this, he wasn't blaming anyone. So why does he speak in such a seemingly discouraging way? Let's suspend our disbelief for a while and read on. Maybe there's an answer there. Jesus talks about interpreting signs. That's something we can be more comfortable with. Talking about the weather is almost second nature to us, especially here in Scotland where there's so much of it. And forecasting has become a major industry with varying degrees of success. But what about interpreting the signs? What's that about? The crowd Jesus was addressing were living in troubled times, feeling God-forsaken and overrun by pagan Romans. We know that their expectations of the promised Messiah were that he would lead them to overthrow the Romans and re-establish their Jewish way of life. No matter that the Jewish practices had become every bit as corrupt and unjust as the Roman ones. But with hindsight, we know that that's not what happened. And since Jesus' words are as much for us today as for those who first heard them, how do we interpret the present time? Looking at the world around us, it can be as easy to be discouraged as Jesus' Jewish contemporaries were, and to wonder why God allows the things we see happening. The temptation to respond to violence with violence and constraint with constraint is surely never far away. We don't have the benefit of hindsight, but we can try to understand what Jesus wanted to teach his hearers and us. The kingdom of God is near, then and now. It's no good protesting about what we see going on around us, things we can do nothing about. Just as it was no good the Jews protesting about the Romans. To work for the kingdom, we have to attend to what is within us, our own unkind thoughts, the evil that lives side by side with God's kingdom. That is what we can and must do something about. Until we do that, we can't find our way into God's kingdom. But the good news is we don't have to do it alone. The moment we begin to turn towards God, he rushes to help us. We don't have to worry about the evil that is in the world, though praying about it is good. But we should work with God to rid our hearts of every unloving thought, for only then will his kingdom be a place where we can be at peace. If we apply ourselves to this work, we can trust that, in time, God will turn other people's hearts to himself, putting right the things that seem so wrong. So, I believe that this is what Jesus meant by interpreting the present time. What we can do about it is within us. And that was Jesus' message for his original hearers too. How does this fit with our original problem, not peace, but division? It's still a hard message, and not everyone will be in a hurry to take it on board. But it's gospel, so we can't argue with it. It must be true. And because it's gospel, we know it's good news. To follow Jesus, we must go with him to the cross. But beyond that lies resurrection and eternal life. That is what God wants for everyone. And he wants it for good and not for evil. May his will be done. Amen.
God, may we wake up to the signs that are all around for a world in need. Fuel poverty, food poverty, homelessness, migration, war, greed, complacency. Help us not to look away, but to keep on staring until we see a way by which we can make a difference. The signs confront us every day. May we respond with love. May we respond with compassion. May we respond with action. May we know that we have enough, that we are enough to bring about change, to bring about justice in the world. In reading the signs, may we discern the first step that you invite us to take as individuals and as your body, the Church. Awaken us, Lord. Strengthen us. And lead us on to respond as your people, loved by you, and to be love for the world. Amen.
We come before you, Lord. We remember that you are the source of all good gifts. All that we can offer comes from you, and we give of your own to you. May we be known as your people, and may our lives and our gifts further the coming of your kingdom, for which we pray in the words that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory for ever. Amen.
Your Church, disturb our slumber, move us to action, to show your kingdom on the earth. Make us like Jesus, full of your Spirit, declaring good news to the poor, proclaiming freedom for every kind.
Lord, we have received the blessings of your word. Help us to share them with those we meet in our daily lives. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and with all God's children, now and always. Amen.
Shine upon.